Okay, recorder's on. So, Genesis 49, he gives his last words to his different sons. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. Just as I read through that, I was just kind of thinking about... I've talked to you guys a little bit about it, and I know it's weird for you guys because you're so young, but about the legacy that you want to leave, and if someone was going to, you know, like, summarize your life in a couple sentences or in one verse, like, what kinds of things would they say? And is that something that would be what you would want them to say? You know, do you want them to say, you know, he was a nice person, or she was good at some sport, or they played this instrument really well, or they were nice to their siblings, or they obeyed their parents, or like they followed the Lord. I mean, like, what kinds of things do you want people to say about you? That's not really part of my teaching this morning, but just chapter 49 is really just kind of a summary of each one of his kids, and he talks to each one of them individually, and then he dies. And at the end of that chapter, in verse 33, it says, when Jacob made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. And so then chapter 50 starts off with Joseph falling on him and crying. And if you think about just what it would have been like in Joseph's life, I kind of want to talk about him this morning. And so, you know, he was the favorite. You guys know that. His dad loved him more than his other brothers. And it kind of got on his brother's nerves. And then he starts talking about these dreams that he had where, you know, they're going to be bowing down to him, and they're like, dude, we're sick of you already, and now you think we're going to be bowing down to you? You're our little brother. Like, that's not how this works. And even his dad was like, hey, you know, son, I'm not going to be bowing down to you. I'm your dad. Like, you know, slow down a little bit on this. And anyways, they sell him into slavery. He goes through all the stuff that he went through in Egypt and just the difficult life that he led. But the positive attitude that Joseph kept, I mean, we don't see really any time, and I'm not saying it didn't happen, I'm sure there was times where he was discouraged and frustrated and angry at his brothers and angry at, you know, the situation and stuff. Maybe even angry at God, I don't know. God doesn't record that for us. But, you know, all of the stuff, those dreams that he had, and those things came to fruition. You know, there was a time where his brothers, unknowing that it was him, bowed down before him. And, you know, his dad even came and fell down before him because of the position that God put him in. And so God used him, and he navigated, you know, this difficult life in a really cool way, and gets to, you know, the second in command in Egypt. And then basically the first half of chapter 50, they take Jacob back home and bury him with his family, and Joseph does. And so in verse 14, Genesis chapter 50, verse 14, it says, and Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren and all that went up with him to bury his father after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And so, you know, they realize as they're on their way back, they kind of sober up like, okay, we just buried dad. And, you know, I don't know if they start talking like, okay, maybe Joseph just wasn't killing us because dad was still here and he didn't want to upset dad, and, you know, he wanted to like maintain that, you know, good son type of thing. And so he was treating us nicely when dad was alive, but dad's gone now. And, you know, the rumors started swirling like, you know, what's Joseph going to do to us? Is he going to kill us? Is he going to kick us out of our land? You know, is he going to take our families from us? Like, what's Joseph going to do? Cause we did a bad thing to him, and his life was, kind of rough for a while. And so rather than going to him, they send a messenger, and they're like, hey, Joseph, dad told us before he died that you were supposed to forgive us, you know, and like they just make up this whole thing about how they're supposed to forgive. But at the end of that verse in 17, it says, and Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And he's like, you know, what else do I have to do for you guys? Like, I've brought you guys in. I've fed you. I've moved our whole family here. Like, we've multiplied here. We have the best land, you know. I brought dad here, and we had this, you know, final family get together. Like, it's kind of, even though dad just died, like, it's kind of a reconciliation story, right? Like, he brings everybody back together, and they get kind of this closure that maybe a lot of families don't get. And so he's just like, man, you know, like, what else do I have to do? And then in verse 18 it says, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And then talks about his grandkids and kind of the way Joseph's life wraps up. Then he dies at the end of that chapter. But he tells them, like, hey, it's not my job, it's not my place, it's God's place to decide what you guys. I'm gonna do what is right. I'm gonna do what I'm supposed to do and what I've been doing this whole time. You know, my attitude, my conscience towards you guys is clean. I've done everything the way I'm supposed to do. Regardless of what you guys have done, I'm not going to punish you guys for what happened so long ago. God, you guys meant that thing for evil. You tried to kill me, or at the very least, you tried to sell me into slavery and thinking that that would just get rid of me as a problem in your life. But what you guys meant for evil, God meant it for good, and God used that to bring me to this place of power and this position. And now it's been able to feed all of our families. And if it wasn't for Joseph, his brothers probably would have died way back when they had that famine, right? They were so much out of food, they had to go to Egypt and buy food from them. And Joseph gives them the food and sends them back home. And he said, don't come back unless you bring your little brother with you. You guys remember that? He talked to them whenever they were there and said, and they revealed they had another younger brother. And then they said, hey, don't come back unless you bring your younger brother, because he wanted to be with Benjamin. And so they waited a really long time before they went back, because Jacob was like, you cannot take Benjamin. I've already lost Joseph. I can't lose Benjamin. Why was he so keen on those two boys? You guys know why? Why was Joseph and Benjamin so favored in Jacob's eyes? Yeah. Yeah, so the wife that he wanted, that he worked for Laban for 7 years to get, Rachel, he was tricked and given her sister first. Then it worked 7 more years to get Rachel. And so he loved Rachel the most. These two boys were the only children that Rachel had given him. And so they were kind of precious in his eyes because of who their mom was, more than the other 10. And so he's like, man, I cannot lose Benjamin and Joseph both. I'm just not going to do it. And finally they're like out of food completely. And he's like, they're like, hey, we got to go back. And we cannot go back unless we take Benjamin. And so they do end up letting him go. But they were in a bad situation. Had it not been for Joseph, you know, being in a position in Egypt to save all of this food and be able to feed all of these other countries and nations, his brothers probably would have died long ago. But Joseph's like, it's not my job to get back at you guys. Like, God's going to punish you, or he's not going to punish you. That's up to him. It's not my place to do that. My place is just to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to do the right thing, no matter what. And so, it's a little bit like that verse 20, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. That verse kind of reminds me a little bit of the Esther verse, you know, about such a time as this. Like, Joseph was put in this position, to save much people alive, including his family. And so I just want to kind of maybe give you guys that thought and, like, think about, like, we can't control anybody else's actions, right? Like, we can't control how people respond, to us, to the gospel, to what they heard at camp. Like, we can't control, we can't make other people follow the Lord. We can't, you know, make other people's hard attitudes be right. But we can control our own, right? We can control our own attitude. And Joseph had way more reason than any of us to hate his brothers, to be mad at God, honestly, to, like, not do what was right. I mean, he got, from a worldly perspective, he was the second in command of, you know, the greatest nation on earth at that time. And so he was, you know, the second most powerful guy in the world. And the first most powerful guy, Pharaoh, listened to everything Joseph said. Like, technically Pharaoh was in charge, but if you go back and you read the story of Joseph, there's several times where he meets with Pharaoh, and Pharaoh's like, hey man, whatever you want. Like, you can have whatever you want. You can give your family whatever land you want. Like, treat them as if they're my family. Like, give them whatever they want. And so he was, you know, maybe the most powerful guy in the world, even though Pharaoh had the ultimate say over everything. But God put him in that position. But he didn't know that. Like, he didn't know that was going to be the end of his story. Like, when he's being sold into slavery and he's, you know, a servant in Potiphar's house, and then he gets thrown in jail and he's there for at least 2 years for something he didn't even do, because just as some rich guy got mad at him. And, you know, he did not know what the end of the story was going to be. But if you read the last, like, three or four verses of that, of this chapter, where he gets to raise up his grandkids, and it says his, verse 23, and Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And so, you know, it's like he gets to live out this life of a grandpa, and, you know, he gets to spend time with his brothers and their kids, and he got to spend time with his dad before he passed away. Like, when he's in jail, like, those are not things that he was thinking that he was going to be able to do. Like, he wasn't going to see his dad again. He wasn't going to see his brother Benjamin again, or any of his other brothers for that matter. He wasn't going to be able to, you know, live a long life in the palace. He wasn't going to have all of these things. You know, so what these guys meant for evil, God meant it for good. And so we don't know, you don't know what, you know, is going to happen to you guys a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now. You know, we know none of you guys are going to be in this class 5 years from now. Unless you, I guess you can come back as a teacher or something. But, you know, like, you guys are going to all graduate high school in the next 5 years. Like, you know, you don't know where life is going to take you. And so, you know, do the right thing. Be a person of integrity. Like, you know, have the right attitude toward people. It's not our job to condemn people or to be angry at people. Like, it's not our place to be in God's place, right? Let God take care of the things God's going to take care of, and just let us do the things that we can control, right? We can't control God. We don't want to control God. We can only control ourselves. So this kind of, as we get back from camp, I just was reading this yesterday and was just kind of meditating on, you know, the things that I can control and the things that I can't control and shouldn't have control over. And so, you know, just kind of think about those things. We're out of power, so I hope the church building is still on.
I was going to talk to you if there's no windows.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll figure it out. We'll do candlelight service then.